Just like to read with you. At the beginning here, under the little intro by this EJW, whoever that might be, there are some Bible verses. Okay? Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And I'd just like to read them with you. You remember that today's verse is the third. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. But let's take 1, 2, 3, 4, and let's read them together or recite them. Well, I don't know if you've learned them in this version. So let's stick with this one for now, since we all have it and can read it together. Together? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. I had my first, shall I call him a reciter. He came to me last night after meeting and recited these four verses. And that made me happy that someone remembered that I suggested and encouraged. I suggested that we learn and encouraged you all to do it. It's not Psalm 119. It's Colossians 3, 1 through 4. Okay, so you say Sister Graber actually listened to your wife? Oh, wow. What a patient woman. Yeah. And she was probably blessed by just hearing those words, too. That's probably one reason she did that. Psalm 119. But this is just four verses. And so I'd just like to mention, although he doesn't look for this, I'd like to mention that it was Frank Alcamo who came to, who came to recite. And we're thankful for your leading the way. And I'm hoping that there will be others, maybe many others, who will follow your lead. And as we spoke about this passage, he told it me in the space of about a minute and a half, so I'm hoping that he doesn't take too much longer than that this morning, but he told me about the blessing that Colossians 3 has been to him in particular, this idea of being dead. What a blessing to be dead. Yes, it says here in our verse, you have died, you are dead, and your life. Interesting, you're dead, but you're alive. So it might mean something different from what it first appears to mean on the face of it. I know there was a man in our church, my father would preach from this, and well, the man is still in our church, and he used to challenge my father. He said he was dead. And therefore, he didn't need to hear about his sins or shortcomings or because that's all done with. It's all past and done with. He's dead. And so why do you keep bringing up the conflict and the shortcomings? Because we're dead. In fact, he doesn't like to use the word sin. I show him in the Apostle John's first epistle that the Apostle John uses it. Why can't you use it? No, he makes mistakes and so on because his sins, past, present, and future, are just there, out of the way. So he doesn't have to, life is easy for him. He doesn't have to deal with anything anymore because it's all past. So it says, you are dead. And then my father says, but look on, verse 4, verse 5, mortify, oh, it's not right in here, mortify therefore your members which are on the, so you're dead, but you still have to put to death. certain things. Interesting. So in other words, this is something that's good for us to think about and understand what the Apostle Paul is saying. It's not all exactly as we might think at first. There's a song by Major Whittle that says, opens with these words, "Dying with Jesus, by death reckoned mine, living with Jesus, a new life divine, looking to Jesus till glory doth shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine." That's the life that is for us. Now, I'd just like to ask Brother Frank to just share with you what he shared with me last night, because it has to do with this third verse, and it carries on to the fifth verse that I mentioned. But if you share with us, then we'll pick it up from there tomorrow morning, the Lord willing. Okay. You talked about slaying, getting that sword out, and you talked about Agag. Everybody know who Agag is? Oh, anyway. You can do it briefly, right?
Yes.
Okay, come. Come, yes, stand here. But don't let it get to you. Okay.
My knees are knocking together, so that means I'm going to be brief. Yeah, I'm just more or less of a testimony. We have a little Bible study group, and we were looking at the book of Colossians in the city, and I says, I bet you when we get to camp, we're going to go through Colossians chapter 3, and this is what we did. Just mind if I just open with a brief word of
That's
prayer?
Great.
Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that as we just look at this wonderful, these few verses, that you'll help us to learn better what it means to mortify the deeds of the body, that we might live, that we might walk in newness of life, that we might be like Jesus. And everything we say, do, and think, that ultimately we might get to the place in Galatians 3:20 where Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live no longer, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. Yet I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And I receive not the grace of God in vain." We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I love this verse. "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." And these few verses talk about a recipe on how to live in the Spirit all the time and how to live with Jesus. It says fornication. We all know what that is. Good to get a dictionary and look these things up, and a lexicon, and uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. We all remember Vita Greenwood. She taught us a poem, and she asked us to do homework on the poem when I used to work at the mission. And the poem goes something like this: "There are two natures inside of me that live inside of me, one I love and one I hate. The one I feed will dominate." And we read in Romans chapter 6 that, and Brother Eddie, thank God, quoted a verse from there, talk about dead reckoning. You know, when the sailors would take a picture of the sky when the clouds weren't out, and then they would take their measurements from there, and then when the clouds came, they would know how to navigate because they reckon. And thank God we can reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. And Paul talks about it dying daily, but Romans 6 talks about something very wonderful, something that really intrigues me. It says that we become a slave to the thing that we give ourselves unto. This poem says, "There are two natures inside of me, one I love, one I hate, but the one that I feed will dominate." And I'm so thankful. You know, it thrills my soul this morning to know that as we get to Jesus and we seek him, you know, all that ask, I'm so glad that it doesn't say sometimes. But you know, all these scriptures in the Bible are yea and amen. It says, all that ask, receive. All that seek, find. And to all that knock, it shall be open. And there's that promise, because Jesus died on the cross and Jesus put these things to death. You know, that word mortify couldn't be there. We sing the song, Jesus giveth us the victory. He who overcame on Calvary overcomes again in you and me. And it's because of the victory on the cross that Jesus can ask us to mortify these things in us. As he became sin for us, we read. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And this command, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, is a wonderful command. And I'm so thankful that scripture that says, I receive not the grace of God in vain, the one I quoted in the prayer. God, I'm so glad that God doesn't ask us to do these things in our own strength. We'd be in trouble. But God asks us through the grace of God. In Romans 8:13 it says, if we live in the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, it's only possible by the Spirit of God. Ye through the Spirit, if we mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. And I'm so thankful for that. And when I think of these verses, I think of King Saul, and I think of the partial obedience. And I'm going to be brief. I'm going to try to close with this real quick. But that story intrigues me. King Agag, of course, we all know that represents sin. The Amalekites. God said to Saul, kill everything. Kill the king. Kill the people. Kill the babies. Now, my aunt, I had visited my aunt and witnessed to her just before I came up here. She says, why would God do a thing like that? That sounds cruel. I says, those people were going to pollute. They were going to try to pollute the whole world and pollute the children of Israel. And God knew that if those little babies grew up, they'd be raised by those wicked people. And they'd be polluted also. And God put them to the sword. That was God's way. And there's a way now. God doesn't want these members in our bodies to live. Yes, we're saved. In our spirit man, we're saved. The Bible talks about being sanctified spirit, soul, and body. But God asks us day by day to put these things to death. And Saul didn't follow through. You know, in the Garden of Eden, the enemy, I'm thinking, what's the difference between the enemy, the devil, King Saul, King Agag, and our flesh? There's really no difference. Our flesh likes to do what it wants. And when we bring this flesh to Jesus, he crucifies it. He mortifies it. And God told King Saul, put to death everything, and he didn't. You know, King Samuel came around, and of course, he had the courage to finish the job that King Saul, but the prophet Samuel came around, not King Samuel. I said King Samuel. Prophet Samuel came around, and he had the courage to do it. He says, I hear this bleeding in my ears. If you obey the Lord, in that key verse, 1 Samuel 15:22, it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey. And this morning we have a verse before us, mortify therefore your members. And thank God we can obey that by the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus and through the Spirit of God. The prophet Samuel took the sword, and that king came to him just the way our flesh does. You know, this flesh says, you don't have to put these, you know, I'm this is normal. You're a male, you're a female, you know, to feel these affections, that's normal. You're a growing boy, you're a healthy man and woman. You should, you know, and we shouldn't listen to that. That's the flesh speaking, that's the voice of the enemy. And the king did the same thing. He said, I'm not going to turn to it because I'm going to finish in about a minute. He says, surely the bitterness of death is past. He was trying to tell Samuel, don't kill me. I won't be much of a threat, please. But our flesh does the same thing. But you know, God wants those things. And we probably think, I'd be so rounded out. The devil told that to Eve. You'll be a rounded out Christian if you partake of that knowledge. And you'll be more complete. And the Bible says we're complete in Christ. We find our completeness in him. It's not in knowing evil, because the more evil we know, the more polluted we become. But it's studying the tree of life and studying Jesus that we become sanctified. But of course, and I'm going to close now, that prophet Samuel had the courage, and may God give us courage this morning to take the sword of the Spirit. We read in Ephesians 6:18, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that sword, that word has the power to mortify. We sing grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will is greater than all of our sin. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to struggle with these things in our own strength, but the grace of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the precious blood of Jesus will help us as we call upon Him. The Bible says He will save. Hebrews 7:25, He will save all to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I'm just so thankful for that, that as we give ourselves to Jesus, and of course Samuel took that sword. He didn't just stab him once. You're nice, King. I'm just going to... He took that, he cut that picture of sin in pieces. He just wiped that thing out, that king out. And that's what we have to do. God wants us to be murderous. He wants us to be merciless when it comes to the flesh. He wants us to do violence to these things. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. And God give us grace to do that. Now, I want to do something a little bit unusual, too. You know, I've known Brother Eddie since college. Would run into him before he was always in the ministry. But I'd run into him before he was married. In the hallway, we had the Christian Fellowship Club. And, you know, he's been so giving. He's been so generous. All that, I know him about 35 years. He's been so generous and so giving in the city and up here. And I was wondering if you men in this meeting that have faith, and I know you do and would care to, would just surround him and pray with him and for him, that God will give him the strength and the grace that he needs. He's got a difficult job. God will pray, bless his wife, his children, his congregation. We do that. You men that want to pray with him, surround him with our faith and our love.
Dear Jesus, thank
you. Oh, Jesus. Bless our brother, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that he has been, but I pray that you'll put your mighty hand upon him this morning. Jesus, and answer the blessing. Oh, God, put your mighty hand upon him this morning, Jesus. Put your word in his mouth. We thank you that it's already there, but I pray that you'll even more so increase the blessing. You said the kingdom and the peace of thy increase would have no end, dear Jesus. And I pray, Jesus, that the word of God would be fire in his mouth, dear Lord. Oh, God, and I pray that all the things in our lives would be, that are wood, hay, and stubble would burn away. Oh, God, as he preaches to us and as he ministers to us and as he ministers to those in his congregation, dear Lord, and as he comes in contact with those that he prays for and prays with in the city, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this vessel, Lord. I pray that you'll replenish this vessel, Lord. I pray that you'll take all trace of sickness away, dear Jesus. I pray that you'll increase the anointing that's upon him, dear Lord. We thank you for what you've done thus far. Oh, God, I pray that you'll bless our brother and friend. Oh, Jesus, have your way with him, with his family, with his children. Oh, God, with his congregation.
Yes.
Bless him real good today, Lord. Let today be a red letter day in his life and in our lives, that we might serve you better, dear Jesus. Oh, God, that we might be and that he might be and that we might, as our brother Bob said, we need each other. Help us to help each other, as our sister said, to that celestial city. Oh, God, I pray that you'll help us to pull together, Lord, to help each other into Christ in a better way, dear Lord. I pray that you'll bless my brother today, Lord. Oh, God, fulfill all the desires of his heart concerning world evangelism, concerning the ministry at camp, concerning the ministries at home. Oh, God, I pray that you'll bless him today.
Yes,
Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
A fresh anointing, Holy Spirit, breathe on me, for I anointing afresh on.